When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
McManus.
I'm pretty darn good, actually.
Oh.
Got a little heel spurt going, but I'm getting through the heel spurt.
Ooh.
Oh, a brutal injury. Well, I shouldn't say injury. It's just a brutal pain in the ass is
what
it is.
Oh, jeez, bud.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not happy with it, but I am I'm working through it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're being positive about it?
I am because I'm finding alternatives, which makes me get more creative with my body workouts.
Like?
I'm obviously swimming more for sure to take all the pressure off. But I was just enjoying running again.
Smart.
Like I just got back into running. Like the weather's getting nicer.
Yeah.
And I was like so happy. I'm just like doing like, you know, run for two, walk for one. You know, I was getting into that kind of rhythm. And it was like, boom. But anyway, that's okay.
Being positive about it.
I am because I love the other things I do. So that makes me happy.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that kind of brings us to our subject today.
You mean I actually help with the subject
you
today?
Actually kind of.
Because usually I'm no help at all. So that's good. I'm glad.
I mean, you kind of like have led me into this subject.
All right.
Yeah. And it's about cynicism.
Oh, Lord.
See, because when bad things happen, by the way, bad things don't even happen to be a cynic.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can respond to bad things happening with cynicism. Or you can just, of course, be cynical before anything even occurs, which is something that I could easily
into. I'm right with you.
Yeah. And have been. But you know, here's the thing about cynicism. I think we do it, or I do it, as a defense mechanism. So I'll be like, no, you know. Like you can even see me do it on Loser a little bit. Like, I was so afraid Danny was going to fall below the line and go home because so much was working against us that I felt like I had to mentally prepare myself that she was going to go home. So I was like, there's no way she's going to be able to do this. She's going home. And it drives Bob crazy. He hates when I do it. And he's right to hate it.
And he's like, oh, I hate when you do this. She's going to be fine. I'm like, no, she's going home. But I feel like if I don't mentally prepare myself, I won't be able to stand.
Oh, God, I so know what you're talking about.
The disappointment.
Yes.
You know, if I attach to the outcome of her, like, being okay and getting through it, and then she falls below the line, like, it's going to wreck me. But the problem with that attitude is that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start to think, like, oh, this bad thing is going to happen, well, your thoughts, they're dynamic things. They affect the way you behave. They affect your actions. You end up manifesting those very things that you're afraid of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A perfect example. A guy thinks his girlfriend's going to cheat on him. And he feels, you know, needy and, like, afraid and insecure. So he starts calling, where are you? What are you doing? He starts acting suspicious. Well, the first thing people do when they feel smothered is distance. So then, of course, she's going to start taking distance from him.
Yep.
And then he's going to smother more in response to her pulling away. And then she's going to start to think, I don't want to date this guy. He's, like, totally insecure and he smothers me, and she's going to find somebody else. And you've created the very thing you're afraid of the most.
Yep.
That's kind of the danger with cynicism. Another thing that's really dangerous about it is that it dashes out the hope, you know, the hope that we have. If you're already going to a place of, like, it's a failure and you're not going to get the job and the guy's not going to like you or the girl's not going to like you and, you know, the worst case scenario is going to occur. Well, when you pull the hope out of your life, you're kind of screwed because hope is really integral to achievement and change.
Yeah, there's a course on hope I'm going to take back home. And that's interesting you say that.
Why are you going to take, why? What prompted that?
Just because I can tend to be very cynical too. And what this course is about is how important it is to restore hope in our lives.
Yeah.
Because we have let go of a lot of hope.
Absolutely we have.
And so it's a training on how to look at hope and see the good in hope.
If you don't have it, you're lost, I promise you, because there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And mm-hmm. it's not to say you won't be disappointed. You will. Count on it. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be let down and bad things are going to happen. Know that. But also know that good things will happen too. And you will survive the setbacks. And whether or not you choose to anticipate them or foresee them is actually not going to make it any easier.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
You know, we think it will. We think that we won't look like fools or we're prepared or, you know, well, if I know that I'm not going to get the job, I won't look like an idiot or I won't feel sucker punched or I'll prepare myself. It doesn't actually soften the blow at all. It doesn't actually provide any positive benefit, the cynicism. So you think like, why, you know, I'm prepared. I won't look like a fool. I'll be ready for it. I knew it. Or no, it still sucks.
Yeah, there's something very twisted about cynicism. You can take it to the next degree, and I'll give this very short example.
No,
but when I was a little kid, I looked like a boy. I was often mistaken for a boy. Oh, there's a boy. And I remember,
all little kids are, though. You know that, right?
See, I didn't know that. I just
thought
it was
me. Oh, my
God.
People do it all the time with Lou. He's so cute. And then we started putting beads in her hair. You know what I mean? I was like, she's wearing pink pants. Like, I do it all the time, too. Like, little boys with longer hair. I'm like, oh, my God. And you don't know what to say to the mom. Like, is he so cute? Is she so cute? Everyone does that with kids because they're so androgynous.
And what it did, though, but it really made me feel unattractive. It made me feel like I was never very feminine, right? Because I remember these girls would... Anyway, what are you doing in the bathroom? And they freaked out. And I was like, I'm going to the bathroom. And it affected me. Anyway, so to this day, I know I am in my 50s. I realize that. But to this day, I will watch people look at me in a bathroom because I'm thinking, they're thinking I'm a guy in this bathroom. They're thinking I'm a guy in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
To this day.
That's so ridiculous.
And what I do, I know. And what I do is I plan my response. That's how cynical I am. I plan my response.
Serious?
Yeah. Like if I'm at the pool's the worst because I'm naked and I'm still thinking, they're going to think I'm a guy.
And has anyone in your adult life ever said that to you?
No, but I know they're thinking.
No, they're not.
They turned to each. I saw these two Russian women. They were talking in the other language. And I'm sure they go.
Why does everyone think that when people speak in their native tongue, they're talking about you?
Yeah.
They're not.
They are. They're going, Tatiana, look, there's a man in the bathroom.
No, they're not.
I know it now, so. No.
But anyways,
this is ridiculous.
So I plan my response. Or if somebody, I think somebody's going to do something.
You've been doing this for 50-something years.
I have.
And no one in your adult life has ever, except in your imagination of Russian, that has accused you of being a man. That is the silliest.
But I'm saying that's just one example of the many times I plan. It's like when you plan to be prepared for whatever's going
to
happen.
To have a failure. Yep.
And I run the conversation of my altercation with that person.
Yep.
I got it all figured out what I'm going to say.
Oh my God.
You know, so I'm just saying there's a twisted side to cynicism. When it goes beyond into Genesis crazy world.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, buddy.
You're not saying you've ever. You're telling me you've never planned a fantasy, a payback scenario.
Payback,
in your head.
Sure, a fight, of course. But this is different. I mean, this is like you're having all this anxiety about going into a bathroom, for God's sake, for something that doesn't even exist anymore. Like, you're an adult. You got boobs and the whole thing, bud. You're a girl. We can all tell.
Well, some people, not when I'm dressed in my sweatpants and my
that is the silliest
my
thing
Pendleton
ever.
Shirt.
Oh my God, Janice!
I'm just,
and by the way, like it again, it doesn't accomplish anything. So I also have this other thing that I do with cynicism, where I feel like if I take it for granted, like if I think it's going to work, or I think it's going to hit, God's going to punish me and teach me humility. So I have to always like. Anything could go wrong at any moment. That's my dad. That's my dad stuff right there. Like thinking like, don't ever get attached to it because the shoe will drop to teach you a lesson.
And you're telling me I'm crazy because
I'm going
in the bathroom?
I look at it and so then here's what I do now. Because I'm not able, I am still afraid to just go, it's going to be great. Because I feel like whenever I'm like, no. Everything's okay, then the shoe does drop.
Yeah. So you become cynical about it.
So what I'm trying to do is go into it with an open mind now, with no predisposition of like, if it falls apart, I'll be okay. I'll learn from it, and it wasn't the right opportunity. And then I know the right one will come. So there's the hope. So I'm like accepting that it could fall apart now. And then I'm telling myself it's going to be okay. It's meant to be. I find the silver lining, right? So I'm not having a cynical attitude. If it goes wrong, I'm having a positive attitude. And then I say, and you know something? It very well could work. This way I keep an open heart, a willing mind, right? Open mind, willing heart. And I keep the hope alive.
I want that too.
Well, get out there and try to evolve a bit.
I will evolve a bit.
I finally got it out of me that I could say this now. Janice is a girl?
You know what?
I've been speechless this entire segment. Janice is a girl.
Yes.
You know the two of you.
Can you believe it?
I just thought it was a higher voice.
No.
And nice pecs.
Yeah. I know it, honey. I discovered a while back. And
oh, my God.
I know. I knew.
Yeah, this is
you know how I knew? I saw a flowered bra underneath a white T-shirt during a daily dose tape.
I thought I saw that, too.
And that's when I discovered it.
This is a core issue for me. Yeah. No making fun of my core issues.
And when you made her over, I was like, well, why? This is getting a little weird.
Yeah, a little tootsie, huh?
A little bit
tootsie action happening there.
Okay, I'm going to find out a deep, deep issues for you, and I'm going to make fun of them.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, sir. Please calm down over there.
Get this man out of the studio.
Yeah, get this angry guy out of here. Yeah.
You've seen her as the star of NBC's hit show, The Biggest Loser. Now is your chance to see her live. Jillian Michaels, Maximize Your Life Tour.
It's time for you to ask, why not me? Why not me to be healthy? Why not me to be happy? Your health is the platform that your entire life is built upon. And when your health is solid, every aspect of your life will flourish. Join me as we motivate each other and maximize our lives.
Visit JillianMichaels.com for details.
So I thought we might talk about cheating on your diet.
Well, now, why would you do that?
Tell me, why do you think?
Probably to throw yourself a bone.
Okay.
Give yourself a break.
Right.
Loosen the bone, Wilma.
Yes. And you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
I do think that's a good thing in moderation.
Exactly. It's a necessity.
Oh.
But the key is, well, I say it's a necessity in order to stay with your routine. And the
right.
key is okay. exactly how you do it, when you do it, how often you do it. And there was a study recently, even though I've talked about the statistics of people that lose large amounts of weight, you know, 5% of them keep it off. But here was a study from Brown University that estimated 80% of overweight people who drop at least 10% of their body weight regain some or all of it within the year. So it's reasonable that if a diet includes some kind of release valve, this is part of the study, a way to fudge on the plan without giving up entirely, it might work better than one that doesn't. So how often have you heard from somebody, well, yeah, okay, so I'm paleo. Oh, I've given up gluten. No, I quit sugar. Really? I'd rather be dead than quit sugar, by the way. But this is not a sustainable way of life.
No.
And
no.
I went to someone else's house the other day who, very, you know, very occasionally I get asked by like a famous person if I could help them out for a hot minute, right? I did it with Pink or Alicia Moore. I did it with Maria Shriver. You know, just hey, could you help me? I'm kind of stuck. So there was another individual who had asked me to help her out. And I was like, all right, great. You know, we were sort of going through what she wanted to achieve and what time frame. And I was like, okay, and talk to me about your diet. And, well, oh, no, the diet's great. I'm doing raw food. And I was like, what? You're doing raw food? I'm like, dude, you can't live like this. Like, this is not, you're not going to be able to go out to dinner. You're not going to be able to, you know, you can't do this. This is not sustainable. And she was like, thank God, because I'm waking up at 5 a.m. having nightmares that I didn't soak the almonds. And I was like, no.
Isn't that wonderful, though, when someone says that? Oh, thank
she
God.
She was like, oh, thank
that.
God.
I love that.
She's like, I bought this thing for my husband, and now we're raw food, and I have 3 kids. And anyway, to make a long story short.
Funny.
So I've written about this a little bit in Slim for Life. And part of my attempt with Slim for Life was to say, look, we got to create an easier plan here, because if you're getting into this very all or nothing mentality, not only are you not able to maintain that, you're going to be miserable. So you're going to have a very negative association with healthy living. So the concept of cheating here is I want you to pick foods. I'm okay with fat. I'm okay with sugar. What I'm not okay with are chemicals. So for example, I want you to eat something. You're going to go, you're going to buy a candy bar, right? You're at CVS, you're at Ralph's, wherever. You're looking at the candy bars. I would much rather, I don't need you to buy the 70% dark chocolate that's all organic with antioxidants. Would I love you to? Oh my God, yeah, I'd do backflips if that's what you bought. But if you're going, no, I can't afford it, I don't like the taste of it, whatever, I'd rather you buy something like an Unreal. There's a brand called Unreal, and basically they knock off all of your favorite kinds of candy. So it's like, you know, chocolate-covered peanuts, peanut M&Ms,
right.
Reese's peanut butter cups. They make peanut butter cups. They make Snickers. They make Milky Way. Same thing. But they make it with 50% of the sugar, 50% less sugar.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
No, it's the bomb. It is the bomb. This brand is
bomb.
And you can buy the huge bags with the little snack size ones.
Yeah.
Or you can buy the actual candy bar version. But there's no trans fats. There's no artificial flavors. There's no artificial coloring. There's no MSG. Like, there's no junk. It's mm-hmm. it's called like junk food unjunked. So I'd rather you choose that form of sugar and fat without the red number 40, the high fructose corn syrup, the trans fats.
Palm oil.
Right. That's the stuff. It's those chemicals that make you sick and damage your metabolism. Your body knows what to do with sugar and fat in moderation. It knows how to process it. It's naturally occurring foods. It's a matter of then quantity. So
right.
Again, I go back to other brands I've indulged in. You know, I talk about Paul Newman's. They make like a brand of cookie. It's like an Oreo, but it's not an Oreo. And there's like a mint one and a peanut butter one and a chocolate one. we'll do that. Or we'll get like an ice cream That's all natural without RBST, growth hormones, and all that crap in it. So pick a version of the sweet that is not loaded with chemicals. That's going to be my first ask of you. Then, and it could be pizza. It could be French fries. I just would want you to get fries that weren't fried in trans fat. So, yeah, I'm okay if you have that 500 calories thing of French fries, but I don't want it soaked in trans fat. I'd rather be soaked in a non-hydrogenated oil. Okay, now we got that out of the way. The next thing here is, what's the rule? How often do you do it? I like the 80-20 rule. This is what I talk about. And it could look like every fifth meal or every fifth, you know, one day out of the week, even though I'm not a fan of cheat days. And I've said this before because I feel like cheat days are a license to binge. Mm. And it's like you go crazy all day long. I think it's bad for your psychology. So I don't like that cheat day personally. But if it works for you and you found a way to not go eating 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 calories, because, by the way, I could pack away 5,000 calories in a day. I mean, no problem. No problem. I can think how easy that would be for me. It would be like a stack of pancakes with butter and syrup for breakfast. It would be a burger and fries for lunch. It would be a sundae as a snack in the afternoon. It would be pizza for dinner. And it would be a large popcorn and a candy bar at the movie theater and a soda. Yeah, I could do that no problem and be like, cheat day, baby. Or like, you know, the Bloomin' Onion at the Outback Steakhouse. It's 1,800 calories for a Bloomin' Onion. So I could do 5,000 calories in a day. No problemo.
Yeah.
And that's not really adhering to an 80-20 rule. Because if you're on a diet and you're eating 1,400 calories and you then say, okay, you know, I'm going to eat 5,000 calories on Sunday. Well, that's not an 80-20 equation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that does not kind of – so that hence the reason I don't enjoy a cheat day. I'm okay with every fifth meal. My ideal scenario is that you incorporate, instead of going over per se on your calories, you work the cheat foods into a calorie allowance and you do it for 20% of your calories, which would look like for somebody eating 2,000 calories a day, it's 400 calories of crap. You know, that's what I get a day. I eat 400 calories of crap a day. I do. I will find a way to get the, you know, it might not be that much. It might be 300 calories of crap that I fit in there, but I do. I fit it in there. So, for example, I'll have like, it's the low sugar, because I don't do sugar free because of the chemicals, but it's like the low sugar mocha from Coffee Bean. I don't know how many, probably 150 calories in that. Mm-hmm. And then after dinner, I'm going to have my, because I'm on my Unreal kick. So after dinner, I'm going to have, you know, 200 calories of Unreal chocolate, probably a small peanut butter cup and a small Snickers one of the Unreal brand. So I work it into my calories. If you're on a diet and you're doing 1,400 calories a day, well, then it looks like 280 calories of crap. So it's pretty much somewhere between 200 to 300 calories of crap a day. And it's a piece of pizza, a small fry, it's, you know, a bagel. That's what it looks like a day. So it's a bagel, and that's your cheat food,
right.
Or it's the small fries with your salad at lunch, or your sandwich for that matter, or it's the Unreal candy at night, or it could be the glass of wine, by the way. But I do that every day, so for me, I never really feel like I'm on a diet because the rest of it isn't so bad. It's like I wake up in the morning, I had an Ezekiel English muffin with low fat cream cheese. That's not unhealthy. I work it into my calories. Great, moving on. It's lunchtime. We had that tuna sandwich that we always have when we do the show. Okay. I'm like, well, that's probably 400 calories. All right. But it's not unhealthy. Moving on. You know, I'll have a little snack. I don't know what it's going to be. Could be a cheese stick today. Maybe some pop chips. But I'll have, you know, 100 calories of pop chips and a cheese stick. 200 calories. That's my snack. Get to dinner and then have my Unreal. And that's my real treat. So it might be the pop chips and the Unreal. But they work in.
Yep. Yeah.
So... That's really, in my opinion, the kind of magic equation. But it could also look something like 2 1,000-calorie or 1,500-calorie meals a week. If you can't go with 80-20, which is the way to go. But but by the way, that comes out to almost every fifth meal being a cheat meal, a little bit less. But if you had two meals of 1,500 calories, mm-hmm. you could end up going to, if you're really trying to lose weight fast, it's like... 2 1,500s or 3 1,000 meals every fifth meal. But that's the balance.
You know what it is? It's the word cheat. Like if you could take the, I don't know what you exchange it for, but
the psychology
cheat,
of it.
Yeah, cheat's
I say
bad,
treat.
It's a bad word.
Lose cheat, say treat.
Yeah. Diet treats.
I usually say treat food, but because I sort of wanted to talk, people associate better with cheat food. But,
I know. It's true.
But I say treat food normally. Yeah. It's about like having your treat. And that's how you do it. And honestly, that's how you maintain your health. So if I'm eating 2,000 calories, that's plenty of calories, man. That's a maintenance calorie allowance. And then it's knowing when to eat the bad foods and working them into that calorie allowance, not overeating with the bad food, working it into what you're eating and making the percentages of what you eat 20% bad.
Right.
And 20%, I think, a good number. I'm happy with it.
Treat. Sorry, that just reminded me of the story about the celebrity that you and Bob were on. And
oh, it's my treat.
It's my treat.
It didn't
treat.
Go well. No wonder she hates us. No one hates Bob. She just hates me.
It's my treat.
I've made quite a few powerful enemies in this world, and I don't know how. People
that
just hate me.
No, stop.
Oh, girl, take my word. She's one of them. She's not an enemy. She doesn't take the energy to sit there and go, I hate Jillian Michaels. How can I ruin her life? But she's the farthest thing from a fan, if we could put it that way. Oh, well.
Oh, darling, you're doing just fine.
Thanks, bud.
All right. You know, we should take some calls.
Fine, let's do it.
Okay. Isn't answering.
Oh, man.
But I think the question is very interesting, especially since you're dealing with it.
Jeez.
My question for you, Jillian, is my daughter is almost five, and next year we will be packing her lunches for school.
Mm-hmm.
Since we are getting healthy as a family, what are some healthy and hearty lunches I could pack for her other than sandwiches and wraps?
Interesting question. All right. I'll start out with my real life, now I'm a mom, tips to get your kids to eat healthy. Here's what I've experienced with my daughter. She wants to do what we're doing. Really. If we're eating a salad, she wants to eat a salad.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't matter what you put in front of her. She wants what's in front of us. And I imagine that she's not unusual. I don't have a ton of experience with other toddlers, but I imagine that they're going to want to do what you're doing and talk how you're talking and imitate what you're. So this really does come down to if you're leading by example, your kids are going to follow suit. Another thing that has made her really, it's amazing. She actually loves to eat lettuce, like arugula, spinach, cilantro. And part of this is because we had a little garden in the backyard.
Oh, she liked to help.
She would go out there with Heidi and eat peas off of the vine, and Heidi would hand her little pieces of arugula or pieces of cilantro.
Yeah.
And she would eat them right out of the dirt.
Yeah.
Like right out, you know, obviously we don't, you know, it's all organic.
It's organic,
we don't use
yeah.
chemicals. And she just thought that was the neatest thing in the world. And so she really, she started to have an inclination that vegetables were fun. So if you can make them fun, and if you can make them something that they aspire towards, so like she aspires to be older, she wants to be like the adults. So if you're doing it, or someone they admire is doing it, or an older sibling is eating it, the kid is probably going to want to do it. Another thing, she loves carrots because the horses love carrots.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah.
So she's
she
like,
loves the horses.
Loves the horses, so she wants to eat carrots and apples all the time, just like the horses. So again, if you can create that positive association
so
with
cheap.
The healthier food, then they're going to want to do it. There's also the trickery, and like I don't have a problem with Lou eating Pop Chips. Like, I let her have Pop Chips, but when I'm trying to get greens in her specifically, I'll give her kale chips, like cheesy kale chips, and she loves them. She'll eat a whole bag, and they're like 240 calories, and I'm like, all right, I give her a whole bag for lunch sometimes. And so if you're trying to get veggies in your kid, that's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is put like macro greens, chocolate macro greens in a little coconut milk shake for them. So she loves this vanilla coconut milk, and I'll give her that in the morning with some macro greens in it. So you can kind of blend greens and healthy food into things that they're already eating.
Yeah, the little kid, what her little daughter could do is take
take a little shake to school? Why couldn't you take a little shake? Why couldn't you take a
you
little?
You absolutely could. And like give her the kale chips. Give her like a little baggie of kale chips. Another thing Lou really likes is like we'll go to the farmer's market and we get like the spiced almonds.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the chili lemon ones, but she likes the cinnamon ones. And there's just a little dusting of sugar. It's not a lot. They're dry roasted almonds. That's good for her. Cinnamon's good for her. And if there's a little bit of sugar dusted on them,
yeah,
it's not like they're glazed and buttered and caramelized. So she likes those as a snack. She likes the kale chips as a snack. And there are a lot of moms that will find ways of camouflaging. You know, they'll sneak healthy foods into. One of the things that we've done with the baby, and we find that Lou also really likes it, is we make all these purees. And there was one that I had the other day that was actually amazing, and it was like spinach, potato, and Parmesan. And it tasted like mashed potatoes. Oh, no, sorry. It was broccoli, potatoes, and Parmesan. And I was like, this is great. This is like, tastes like mashed potatoes.
You ate it?
Oh my God, it was excellent. Yeah, well, we made it. It wasn't like we bought baby food. We made it at home.
No, I know.
But like, you can put it in a little glass Tupperware container, and you can put little purees in there for them. Another thing that Heidi will do is she'll make like baked butternut squash or spaghetti squash with meat sauce and tomatoes. So she'll make her like pastas with spaghetti squash, or sometimes like a whole grain pasta. And you can make your kids' favorite, but with healthier ingredients. So sometimes we'll make like a little pizza. So we'll take like an Ezekiel English muffin and we'll toast it, and then we'll put some tomato sauce on there and a little bit of Parmesan cheese on there. We'll make like a little pizza for her. I mean, you can do all of that stuff in healthy ways, things that kids love. So it's really just a matter of what is her inclination? What is your child like? And then putting these little dishes in little Tupperware containers.
Right.
And letting them take it to the school. And they like things that are crunchy. But most importantly, they like things that you're eating or things that you've drawn a fun or positive association to.
I love the fact that she likes carrots and apples because of the horses. That just cracks me up.
Horses. Horses, mama. Every time she sees carrots. Horses. And she loves the farmer's market because she likes to go around to the booths and, like, pay them because it makes her feel like a big girl. So she likes to go around and she'll pick stuff up and touch it because she sees other people touch it. And I have to be like, well, we just bought that because, you know, a toddler is going to drop it. And, you know, she likes to go and touch it. But I don't discourage her because I want her to be, like, feel like this is fun for her. So she'll go, tomato, like when she sees tomatoes. And you know, they also have like bring a vegetable to school day. So all the kids will like bring a vegetable so they can learn about vegetables, and then they get to try everything. It's just about, again, making it fun and engaging them. So when you go to the farmer's market, she's like, you know, I'll say, buddy, go find me something purple. And she'll run all around. Mama, here. You know, who knows? She'll find a plum or an eggplant or something.
Do you give her own little wallet? Like, does she have her own little purse?
I hand her money as we go along, but somehow she always knows to pocket the change. It pisses me off. I'm like, babe, you're creating a really bad habit. And, like, Heidi will help her tuck it into her little pocket in her jeans.
Just the thought of her going up and buying her own plum, like pulling out.
Like she goes, money. Pay, mama, pay. Thank you. Every time she pays. Thank you. I'm like, this is a bad.
She's such a character,
you
kid.
You cannot imagine. She's
so
nuts.
She's funny.
You should see her when she just, someday she just feels like laughing. And she'll just, out of the blue, I'll be answering an email and she'll just go like this. And I'm like, what are you doing, bud? And then she'll start slapping her leg. She's like, ha, ha.
How did you do that? She's
nuts.
Slap your leg.
Kid's nuts. She's nutso.
Oh, yeah. That's very funny.
I'm like, who is this kid? It's just, she's just happy to be alive.
Okay, we have time for an email question.
Yes, because Angela did not leave her number. So I have a request and a question.
I'm ready.
The request is she'd love to hear you do a segment about breast health, as in foods, supplements, and self-care to promote breast health.
Okay.
She'd also like to hear your take on the current debate concerning how often women under 40 or over 40 should be getting mammograms, doing self-exams, and going to their OBGYN general. And her question is about toning the area around her chest.
Okay.
So she says she's 4'10". She has what they call a lingerie department of Macy's full figure. How do I work out and tone my pecs, you know, the area on the sides of her breasts?
Oh, okay.
And my back.
Got it.
Yeah. Anyway, Angela.
All right. Well, first of all, I have no business answering half of this question, but because I have actually asked this question of many doctors and registered dietitians, I'll overstep my bounds a little bit. It turns out that we did this little test on the doctors. And I had to do like this genetic pre-screening thing, right? And you spit into a cup and they analyze your saliva and they say what, well, it's a new science. It's not obviously very fine-tuned, but they kind of check you and what your genetic markers are and they say what you are predisposed to.
Oh, I remember you told me about that. Yeah.
So ironically, and both of them happen to make sense to me when I think about my body, one was a blood clot, and I'm like, that's hysterical because I have horrible circulation. Don't know why. It's not that like my heart rate's low. I work out. I just, my feet fall asleep. I'm cold all the time. I have terrible, terrible circulation. So like when I'm on planes, I try to get up and move and stretch and wear the compression socks. And the other one was breast cancer, which also makes perfect sense because I am an estrogen-dominant female. I have weight in my lower body. I'm prone to getting melasma, the hyperpigmentation on my face. I know what estrogen dominance is, and I know my levels, and I was like, this is hilarious. And if you know, breast cancer can be related to having excess estrogen in the body. So I was like, well, there's got to be something to this because just personally, I've noticed these things that are related to both of these conditions. So I did a little research. And when it comes to breast health, obviously, self-exams, I check like every time I'm in the friggin' shower. I do, man. Wow. And here's why. Not that your doctor would tell you you have to do that. I'm not quite sure exactly what they would recommend. I think it's something like once a week or once a month or something. We had a woman on the show who had just gone to the doctor. And she was cleared. She was fine. No problem. 3 months later, she had a stage 3 breast cancer.
Oh, whoa.
And she's like, I don't understand. Like, I was just at the doctor's 3 months ago. How's this possible? And that's how aggressive this cancer was. And I remember hearing that going, ooh, okay. So every time I'm in the shower, I'm like, well, I just want to check and it's nothing. Okay, fine. Because, it can pop up like that and it can move like that. Another thing, if you have a partner, quite honestly, if you're active with your partner, they might feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, hey, if you notice something that's not quite, let me know. But I personally, like, because I'm just like, well, if I'm in the shower, just quick, is anything, how am I doing? And okay, moving on. I stay on top of it. Really, early detection is so, so important. And always, always go to the flipping doctor. You have to go. Early detection, you've got to see your doctor and you just get your regular checkups. It's so important. Next, alcohol. So bad because it leads to excess estrogen in the body. So that's why I stopped having even, like, when I drink, I tend to say, okay, it's Friday, and that'll be my night to drink, and I get, like, 2 drinks. But I really try to avoid, like, oh, let me have a glass of wine with dinner, or let me have a glass of champagne or this or that, simply because excess estrogen, the excess drinking is really, really bad for, if you have a tendency for breast cancer, bad for you. Another one. Plastics, beauty products with things like fragrance and parabens and all your beauty products, all your hygienic products, keep them as clean as you possibly can. You got to remember your skin is transdermal. So what that means is that things are going to pass through your skin into your system. And the irony of all this is that you'll spend $50 to $100 to $300 on cream that's supposed to make you look beautiful, and it has so many chemicals in it, it's killing you. It's poisoning your system. Like, some of the best products are natural products. Olive oil is a great moisturizer. Sugar scrub is a great exfoliator. You know, there are things that you can use, like avocado, cucumber, natural things that are great for exfoliation and moisturizing, that are all really good for your skin, and they're cheap. They're cost effective. So when you're looking at even like home cleaners, like hydrogen peroxide, baking soda, lemon juice, white vinegar, so much better for you than all those really harsh and toxic cleansers. Because also another big one, pesticides. Pesticides go in the body and they are linked to all kinds of different cancers, including breast cancer. So either thick skinned fruits and vegetables, or go organic if you're going thin skin. So instead of getting the berries, get the oranges. You know, eat the avocado instead of, I don't know what you were considering, but it's like, put avocado on your sandwich instead of the tomato if you can't go organic on the tomato, because thin skin absorbs way more pesticides. Another really big one are plastics. Plastics go in the body and they create xenoestrogens. They mimic estrogen in the system. Sleep, really good for helping to prevent breast cancer. And then this is not a sure science. I always mess this up, but it's called like nutrigenomics. Now, we all have genetic markers, right? Or we all have genetic predispositions. Some of us are different than others. So you can turn things on and turn things off in your genes by what you eat and how you live. For some of us, things like green tea will turn off the breast cancer gene. Things like pomegranate will turn off the breast cancer gene, not in all of us. Mm-hmm. At this stage in the game, you know, there's going to come a time where they're going to take your blood and they're going to be able to map your whole, you know, DNA and say, like, Janice, wow, if you eat, you know, this food, it's going to turn off your cancer gene. Or if you do that, it's going to turn off this gene. And so as a general rule of thumb, you want to eat foods that are high in antioxidants. So blueberries, raspberries, again, they've got to be organic or you're doing more damage than good. But plums and peaches, because these kinds of polyphenols that, like, the blueberries and the plums and the peaches and the berries that they have in them help to attack and kill breast cancer cells. Remember, food should be your medicine, not your poison. Things like walnuts and olive oil, all the healthy fats, the omega-3s, the alpha-linoleic acid, the phytosterols, the antioxidants in the healthy oils and the fats. So salmon, walnuts, olive oil, once again, really, really good for reducing your risk of cancer. Okay, fiber, also really good for heart health and reducing risk of cancer. So things like quinoa, kidney beans, come on, Jillian, speak, bulgur, garbanzo beans, things of that nature, legumes, beans, lentils, really, really good for helping to pull unhealthy fats out of the system and to flush out toxins, heart health, and, of course, cancer. Pomegranate, another really good one for breast cancer, to help you fight breast cancer. That's a big one. Believe it or not, parsley and celery have been shown to boost your resistance to developing cancerous tumors. Yeah, it's called like a pignin or something like that. And it's in parsley and celery. Let me think, what else? Organic coffee is another big one, which it has to be organic. Otherwise, it has tons of pesticides. So you sort of go back to the drawing board on that, which is why I do eBoost, because it's got green tea extract. And overall, to be honest, common sense and clean living.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. Oh, and I forgot the fitness part, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Okay, so, really big, easy push-ups, dumbbell presses, chest flies, and then the sides would be, I would say, terry pulls, so stand in between a cable pull or a cable crossover, grab one in each hand, palms facing the ceiling, and pull your elbows into your rib cage to hit your terries and your lats, lat pull-downs, and standing lat pull-downs.
I've never known what that was. I'm used to the cables where you
can do bicep curls with them,
but
cable crossovers.
But that's really cool to bring the elbows in.
So cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
Look at that.
Practice that in the air.
And also, but also just vinyasas.
Yes.
Don't you think? Like
vinyasa.
I find that really works in that area where Angela was talking about. the sides.
Uh-huh. The up dog, down dog.
Oh, don't get me into the downward dog.
Oh, no, never mind. Moving on. Yeah, moving on. Cool. By the way, talk to your doctor. Don't take this advice from a trainer. I forgot that. It's probably, but you know what? Here's what upsets me. I can say talk to a doctor, and you know what they're going to say? Like, you know, get your exams and...
Yeah.
Got it. Like, they don't... Doctors get maybe 24 hours of nutrition training in the 8 years they go to school. Maybe.
You know, this is not the first time I have heard this, and that it constantly blows my mind.
Yeah. That was my business partner's sister just graduated med school. She's in the ER now, and she's like, how is this possible that I've had less than 24 hours of training on food and preventative medicine? That's all about, okay, you're sick, prescribe a drug, not why are you sick and how do you prevent it naturally? It's just not the way Western medicine works.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right. Well... I'm going to say goodbye for today.
Goodbye, James.
Goodbye, Jillian.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.